The following is an original production of Radio Sydney.
Hey, my name is Nicola Furlong, and you are listening to About the Peninsula on Radio Sydney. My goal is to interview local businesses and residents about their fascinating jobs and hobbies. Listen in and discover life on the Saanich Peninsula as you've never imagined.
And those become the teasers.
The selling pitch.
That you would then post on the Instagrams and the Facebooks, etc.
Okay.
And that is works timelessly every time that works.
Okay,
and
cool.
Generating new content.
Okay.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Psst. Want to promote something? Sure you do. If not your product, then how about your volunteer organization? Your hobby group, or just yourself. We all need to communicate better in our ever-evolving digital landscape. But how? Simple answer, as always, ask an expert. Today on About the Peninsula, I'm chatting with John Jurisic of Harbour Digital Media, a local consulting firm specializing in providing the elusive digital marketing punch necessary to break through the social media static and fine-tune your message. It's not easy, but with John's extensive experience as a bleeding-edge adopter of today's communications tools, telling your story online can be as simple as TikTok. So, pour yourself a cuppa, pull up a chair, and join John Jurisic and me, pitched up in a hallway off the Vancouver Island Technology Park's cafeteria, for part one of our two-part convo. Our compelling chat ranges from identifying Greater Victoria's economic engine, I think you'll be surprised, to the raging online challenge of outing false information in an era of twinkle-short attention spans. No seagulls or airplanes today, but please forgive the squeaking and clicking of the hallway's doors. The tech park's a very busy business hub. John Jurisic, mm-hmm. Welcome to Radio Sydney. I'm delighted to meet with you personally, finally, for the first time. We've known each other a little bit through the Sydney Breakfast Club, but thank you for seeing me. We're in the Vancouver Island Technology Park.
Yes.
I've never been here before on the Camosun campus, so that's really cool. It looks like a quite a remarkably large building, so I guess there's a lot of stuff going on here.
There's a lot of stuff going on here, and as you sort of reviewed some of your background, I think you'd find this anecdote particularly interesting. In and amongst, so essentially, I'm a serial entrepreneur, and my core strength, so to speak, is sales and communications and marketing and promoting. That sort of body of stuff that a company will generally not find important until they can't sell their product.
Exactly. Critically important.
You know. Anyway, in and amongst all of the stuff I've done, I've been very much involved with technology and technology
okay.
company development and started my own company in the late 90s.
Wow.
So unfortunately, that begins to date me a little bit. For your listeners who can't see me, and I started an online learning company that was called eTraffic Solutions in 99. In 2002, we moved the company to the technology park. Hence, why I was hoping that we would meet here.
Right.
We were the second tenant here. There's now hundreds of companies.
It's a huge building.
And before that, it was a mental health hospital.
You're kidding.
Uh huh. Wow. No, I'm not kidding.
Wow.
And some of the very worst cases were held. I guess.
In
on the third floor of this building that's framed like the letter E, so to speak.
Right.
And so in that middle section of that letter up on the third floor is where we had our offices.
Right where the lockdown would have been.
Correct. The very worst of
wow.
the mental health clients.
Okay.
And there were rumors rampant that the ghosts from that era were still up there and hadn't left. And we thought that's ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Until the workers, who were still working on the building...
Mm-hmm.
told us these stories of things moving and of noises. And, of course, yet again, I didn't say anything until I heard one.
Cool. Tell us about it.
Okay. And I came down to this. Now we're now sort of this first area down here.
Right.
First floor. And I came down for coffee. And then as I went to sort of the right or left, depending on where you're standing, I began to hear very odd noises. And they're not like a bird or a dog or a vent or clearly sort of out of this world noises.
Really?
And that scared me enough. I turned around and I took off upstairs. At that time, our bookkeeper was a very spiritual person who had taken it upon herself to, amongst many things, exorcise these kind of spirits mm-hmm. from places.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, whether I agree with you or not, whether this really happens or not, I think we could use your help.
Yeah.
She did something, and from then on, I'd never encountered anything else. Other people have.
Okay.
I think then as tenants started to come in here,
mm-hmm.
likely, possibly those spirits left.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But it continues to be recognized as a place where there could be spirits.
Well,
so here we are now.
Yeah. That's so cool because my listeners may or may not know that I do another podcast I was telling John about called Seeing Dead People, where a psychic and I tell stories about ghosts and paranormal and unsolved mysteries. And she's terrific, and I would love to bring her to this building
sometime.
Please
bring her here and let me know.
Because she can't exercise.
Oh,
yes.
that would be so great. So here we are at the Tech Park. And so that was, anyway, that company, that online learning company, which I started in 99, and then I left in 2011.
Oh, okay.
We eventually got to close to 120 staff, and all of those staff were across North America because we were delivering our products online.
Right.
And
that's fantastic.
And we were here for 5 years, and then we went and bought our own building in town.
Wow. That's a success, obviously. So your company now is called Harbor Digital Media.
Yeah. So
and that is your website, harbordigitalmedia.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in 2011, I had considerable fatigue around managing staff.
Okay. Surprise, surprise. Oh, my gosh.
And just wanting to be on my own.
Yeah, the heavy responsibility, right?
It turns out running a business, starting a business initially is one of passion.
Yeah.
You believe in something. You believe other people should benefit from that something.
Right.
And then it becomes a real grind.
Okay.
And we never really successfully transferred from owners, partners to an operational...
Okay, management kind of thing?
Yeah, we never did that very too successfully. So I decided to become a consultant on my own. And very quickly after 2011, fell into what I'll call labor market consulting.
Okay.
And a lot because I had been doing a lot of that with e-traffic. We built online learning.
Mm-hmm.
We'd been involved with education and learning. That sort of naturally falls within this human resource labor market bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And started to secure contracts. And one of the first contracts I secured was with helping sell the Canada BC Job Grant funding to industry across southern Vancouver Island. Actually, all of the island, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to know hundreds of industry-based clients.
Wow.
Especially on the peninsula.
Okay.
All right. And the peninsula industry sector is hidden to so many folks.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it's likely the economic engine. In my opinion, it is the economic engine for Lower Vancouver Island, if not Vancouver Island.
Oh, really?
And it's hidden, and it's very not well known. Yet after business license analysis through the municipalities, we determined, in working with Camosun College on labor market consulting, mm-hmm. that there was upwards of maybe 70 advanced manufacturing companies in the three municipalities of Central Saanich, North Saanich, and Sydney.
Right.
And they're literally around Keating Crossroad.
Right.
And in west side of Sydney.
Yeah.
And these generating, I mean, no one just tells you what they're making.
No, of course not.
But sort of based extrapolating on facts we were able to gather, generating close to $2 billion worth of revenue.
Oh.
In and amongst maybe 3,500 employees, give or take 500.
Right, okay.
Those numbers were 5 years ago, so I'm not sure how COVID's impact that, but it's not half of those numbers. It's not a quarter. It's in that area.
Okay.
And all of a sudden you go, wow.
That's impressive. That's a pretty bold statement to say the word the economic engine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you compare that and the technology industry that is represented by Viatech, Dan Gunn, a lot of those folks, when they say that their industry is the largest one in Vancouver, and it resonates around $4 billion, much of that $4 billion in revenue includes the advanced manufacturing sector that is in the peninsula.
Okay.
So it's up to somebody else to break down those numbers. So my labor market work in helping companies train staff at that time allowed me to get to know all of these companies, individuals, HR managers.
Yeah, fantastic opportunity.
So so that's kind of, that was kind of brings me up to about 2012.
Okay.
So then it was at that time that I was approached by an individual named Robin Richardson, who was the HR manager, special projects manager at Scott Plastics.
Oh,
Huge manufacturing company in west side of Sydney.
Right.
And he began to say, we need some advocacy help with some key issues that we're just not getting heard enough on. And frankly, don't have enough time to deal with those.
Right.
And those being lack of affordable workforce housing, lack of skilled trades, and lack of transportation options.
Wow, okay.
This was now 2012-ish.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
And because I have this long history with the Chamber of Commerce, going dating back to my e-traffic days, he approached me and said, can you help us? And I said, well, why don't we first investigate whether other folks can help us? And other folks like the Peninsula Viatech found that it didn't fit into their models very well.
All right.
So I said, why don't I do it?
Okay.
And for some gas money, just about all it was, we formed something called the Sydney North Saanich Industrial Group.
Yep.
SNSIG.
Right.
SNIG, it's often referred to. And we began to make a lot of noise around these issues. And we became very annoying to a lot of politicians.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
And but our message certainly got through. I don't know if it's ever been solved, because those three particular issues still
continue to this day. Oh, yeah, and they're greater.
Right. And we decided to take a communication strategy that sort of went around the municipal bureaucracy of communications.
Okay.
And we decided to make a lot of noise using social media, using the radio. So for a couple of years, I was on CFAX on a Sunday morning show, and we chatted about these issues, and that got a lot of play.
Good.
And we were able to reach a glass ceiling at some point, where the only thing left was to either have some of these industry folks become municipal politicians and deal with the land use issues, form their own mortgage company.
Really? Wow, okay.
Or just keep pressing the issue, and there was not a whole lot more we could do. We made some inroads into North Saanich, into their non-ALR properties.
Okay.
And some of those rezoning decisions are still being unwound by the folks that are working against housing in North Saanich.
Yeah.
In particular led by their ex-mayor. So these three issues have continued on. In large part, they've shifted to become transportation issues.
Mm-hmm.
Housing has become transportation, because to actually solve the housing issue for the industrial companies in the peninsula, you'd literally have to build maybe 1,000 homes. That's not going to happen in our lifetime, maybe ever. And so they're moving to Langford and West Shore.
Right, yeah.
And they're commuting here.
Yeah.
And so really the housing problem on the peninsula is becoming a transportation problem for Lower Vancouver Island.
Could I interject and ask, are those companies then considering relocating from Sydney to Langford?
So back when I was very active with our advocacy and communication efforts, I'll call it mid-2015-ish, something like that, when we were very active, those considerations were never real. they would not move.
Okay.
Those companies were well ensconced within the
sure,
airport
absolutely. Area.
Sort
yep.
of leasing area.
Mm-hmm.
They were very large.
Yeah.
They were embedded.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
And they were close to two transportation hubs.
Yeah.
The airport and the ferries.
Exactly.
Which are mission critical for
yeah.
some of their supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, however, the nature of business has changed mm-hmm. post-COVID.
Right, okay.
And likely the chance of those kind of huge companies building up once again may not be as realistic anymore. Where would they go to build such infrastructure? You'd need, like Amazon now is opening up in front
yep.
of Nicholson's.
Yep.
Well, they're going to need 200 people.
Yeah.
Where are those people going to
yeah,
come from?
Because they're certainly not going to pay them a lot of money.
You can't fund a small coffee shops are closing,
yeah.
Restaurants are closing because
yeah.
there's not enough people.
Exactly.
And so these labor market realities are real.
Mm-hmm.
So we've moved to a different kind of business to some degree where
mm-hmm.
a lot of it's at home or
mm-hmm.
or it's distributed.
Right. You might have hubs.
Yes.
Yes. So hub of people in Langford doing parts of jobs that they can do in Langford and other hubs staying up in the manufacturing old-fashioned building.
So I think of the way we might be going.
Yeah. Very different.
Yes. Yeah. Now we might see... Especially with Langford being very aggressive now.
Absolutely.
I mean, they've really been aggressive on the housing side, certainly on the recreation side.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to see Langford get aggressive on the commercial side. And space on the other side of West Hills as you're moving out to or driving out to Souk, that's all going to be commercial.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I think there will be increasing competition, but still... fabulous place to start a technology business or a small manufacturing business if Sydney and Norsedge understand that they can make it a work-live
right.
combination
right.
with those kind of amenities.
Right.
So where are the gyms? Where
mm-hmm.
are the grocery
coffee
stores?
Shops.
Where are
right.
the coffee, the
yeah.
restaurants?
Yeah.
On the other side of the highway or at the very least build a bridge. Which
yeah.
we've never been able to
no,
do,
that's
like,
right.
like a pedestrian.
Yeah, so you can get across without the car.
Because,
yeah.
you know, for quite a while, we chatted with the business improvement associations on the Beacon side of the street
mm-hmm.
around how can we draw these employees
yeah.
over just to buy stuff with you.
Right.
What about a bus?
Yeah.
What about a discount?
Mm-hmm.
What about a special hour, you know?
Right.
You know? So there's lots of opportunity for both sides to benefit.
Okay, well those are issues that you know many have struggled with and will struggle with in the future. And that's an interesting overview, thank you. I want to focus now on your knowledge and experience in marketing in the new realm of social media. And that's not really new, but I'm curious as to how you feel companies, small companies, whatever, should use social media. Are they choosing, would you recommend they choose one platform, multiple platforms? Because it's just a nightmare now, and they're endlessly coming up with new platforms. How do you keep up? What does a business do? What do you recommend somebody to do?
So I'm not sure if that question arose from you reviewing my resume or my background or what I... But it's, in fact, what I do as a consultant now.
Yes, well, that's
I'm
what I thought.
I'm a digital marketing expert.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, for fun, Radio Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
We're a small volunteer-run radio online.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
How do we get our presence
yes.
out there more than our little Instagram feed
yes. Yes.
and my little Instagram feed
yes.
in a world of online everything
yes. Yes.
and 15 social media platforms and more coming?
So I've now been... providing digital marketing services, content marketing services,
mm-hmm.
better part of a year, as a consultant. I've been using the digital marketing landscape since it started.
Well, obviously,
in the late 90s.
If you were doing
so I'm very familiar.
You were doing online training in 1999, for
so very, very familiar.
Yeah.
And there is sort of a key foundational variable that one must... get about all this stuff. All of the platforms and the pieces, et cetera, they are tools
mm-hmm.
in which we can communicate, okay? But one still has to have a core variable, and that is good content.
Right, okay.
Good content. And then you can manage that content in a million ways.
All right.
All right. And that's where you need some knowledge, or hire somebody or ask somebody, mm-hmm. what can I do with that piece of that digital asset?
Mm-hmm.
Without good content, all the rest is doesn't work.
Right. Yeah, because you're selling nothing.
Work.
Right.
I suspect Radio Sydney has great content.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just beaming and busting with it. So
we like to think so.
Okay, so let's say there was someone collecting all that content and beginning to manage, are there bits and pieces of it that we could distribute to the world through these different channels?
Mm-hmm.
And so the way you do that is the way that people listen to news or anything these days, it's got to be short and sweet.
Okay, right, yeah, soundbite almost.
Okay,
right.
You have to create soundbites from the mm-hmm. core content.
Okay.
And so, for example, us today. Let's say we chat for 45 minutes, mm-hmm. it shows up on Radio Sydney, and it's sitting there either on YouTube or on a big server somewhere,
mm-hmm.
And then you take out of that 3 1-minute segments,
mm-hmm.
and those become the teasers.
The selling pitch.
That you would then post on the Instagrams and the Facebooks, etc.
Okay.
And that is works timelessly every time that works.
Okay,
and
cool.
And generating new content.
Okay.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
gotta,
is it ever a lot of work? Exactly.
You got to edit, you
yeah.
got to read, you
yeah.
listen. And I now run what's now quite a popular vodcast called the Victoria Rumble Room.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about the Rumble Room because great name, and I've seen a couple of
right.
your content. Very
yeah.
interesting.
And it's a vodcast, so we've taken ostensibly radio material and added faces. And,
okay,
you know,
so video podcast.
Correct, vodcast, yeah, yeah.
Right.
And so it's essentially a small TV show.
Right.
And certainly doesn't have the quality, and we don't have the equipment that
right.
a TV show does.
Uh-huh.
But it's now, in the period of 1 year, garnered over 400,000 views.
Ha!
Cumulative views.
That's fantastic. Congrats.
And of that, the tactic we've used is to break out clips and then present them to other groups on Facebook, lists on Instagram. We've used TikTok. We've used
yep.
Twitter. So really, you have the core content. That needs to be edited.
Right.
Then you generate clips,
right,
and then you distribute.
Okay,
so it's a process. It's a
yeah,
process.
It's a long process.
And
right.
so that over time will build Radio Sydney's listenership.
Yeah, audience. Right.
Okay. And then, you know, making sure that content that you've generated is going into your target market, so the people that listen to your show.
Okay, so that then leads you to defining your tags, defining your market, and then having a way to tell your market
yes.
that I've put up a new little clip.
Yes.
And that means I need to know the hashtag or the way to find my audience so that they'll find out about my little clip.
Yes. Hashtagging used to be the way
yeah.
that one would get it. It's not as much anymore.
Yeah, because it's overrun. It's like everybody puts 35 hashtags on their, on
yeah,
their Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. And so they've become very diluted.
Yeah.
And so the big companies, especially like Instagram,
mm-hmm.
are moving away from pictures being
mm-hmm.
posted exclusively to video, and they
okay.
are just now discouraging hashtags. They're saying, we're taking out of our algorithms any way to for you to market your content through hashtags.
Okay. And how do they expect you to market your content then?
Well, what they're saying is if you generate good content, we'll make sure that it gets properly distributed
oh,
and
geez.
Shows up on our lists, etc. All these companies
yeah.
control the marketing buttons or
yeah.
through secret
algorithms
yeah. that they adjust on their
yeah.
own. Nonetheless, good content, as it has since the
yeah.
time we were turned into human
yeah.
beings,
yeah.
attracts interest.
Okay, but are they gaming it? I have written novels and books and am on Amazon and have pitched them and whatever and continually somehow market them. But I have become, as most authors that are doing this, unless they're in the 1% or have a huge publishing house behind them, very few, are really tired of the gaming, of trying to game Amazon's algorithm.
Yes.
And so Amazon controls everything. And,
yes.
and they decide what content is good content.
Yes.
Sometimes it's because it's good content.
Yes.
And most of the time it's because they're getting a kickback
yes.
from selling that or showing
I
that
agree.
Content.
Yes.
So Instagram is going to be in exactly the same position.
They're all going to be in the same place. So if you were to, okay, so let's build upon my my foundational variable, i.e. being content. What is the best kind of content mm-hmm. then to distribute? Mm-hmm. So if it's become clear to us that good content will attract viewership mm-hmm. or listeners, mm-hmm. the best of that content is video.
Okay.
And the best of video content is telling stories.
Yep.
Okay. It's actually back to basics.
Yeah, around the campfire.
You know, and so to therefore, let's say, present your book, to sell your book, would be to take out clips, reading, presented as stories, maybe take a paragraph or two or a page or two and say, this is what my book is mm-hmm, about. Mm-hmm. It's anecdotally about this, mm-hmm. and we're trying to illustrate the following things, and off you go to the races, presenting those things on the variety of platforms. And within your summary statement, or you link to Amazon, or you link to where
right.
you can buy
okay.
it.
Right.
And marketing online these days has become literally a million of those kinds of things.
Wow.
There's no one silver bullet.
Right, yeah.
So if you're not modifying your message to
yeah.
their
algorithm,
then you can go other ways.
Okay.
And build a story around your stories and build community around you mm-hmm. and present it everywhere.
Okay, so what you're saying is no different than what I was trying to do in the mid-90s when I was first promoting my books, obviously using different platforms, but exactly the same idea.
Correct.
Now, what
the tools are just
tools. Yeah. The
approach, same way that a human hears a message haven't changed. And what appeals to them hasn't changed.
No. But what I find very intriguing that you mentioned here, a lot of stuff, but that one thing in particular, that you've said video is more powerful and the best way to put content out. I find that quite remarkable given the vast interest in podcasting, not vodcasting, so not video. So people are listening on the bus, on their bikes, walking down the street, whatever, on their phone, listening to radio, listening to podcasts. They're not watching YouTube or that video. So why do you think video is the way to go?
So I've built and produced 6 podcasts, P with a, as in Peter, podcasts.
Yeah, gotcha.
And for the better part of almost 10 years,
mm-hmm.
probably done close to 500 shows for podcasting.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt, but you'll have to wait for the final part of my chat with John Jurisic to learn more about attention spans and online marketing. Thanks for listening to About the Peninsula on Radio Sydney with theme music by Glyn Turner. We'd love to hear your comments or suggestions for interviews. Please zip over to our website at www.radiosydney.ca and click on the contact link, or shoot us an email directly to info@radiosydney.ca. My name is Nicola Furlong. If by any obscure chance you'd like to know more about me, please visit my website, www.nicolafurlong.com. Cheerios, till the next time.
This has been a program of Radio Sydney. The following is an original production of Radio Sydney.